Let's stand for prayer. I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost. I take. Thank God He undertakes for me. And the people of God said, amen. That's a very poor amen. The people of God said, amen. You may be seated. Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, and at the verse 4. Now when he, that is our Lord Jesus Christ, had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Peter was a man with many faults, many failures, and many follies. One like to us all. He many times grieved his Lord's heart, as we all have grieved the Lord's heart at times. And yet he was chosen by Christ to be the great preacher on the day of Pentecost. There is one thing essential in your lives, young men, and that is to know you have been called of Christ. You may be saved. You may be prayerful. You may study the Bible. You may witness. But if you're not clear about a distinct call by Christ, don't venture into the holy place of full-time service. As one called of Christ, you will be tested and you will be tried. You will be shaken and you will be stricken. You will be humbled and you will be hated. And the only thing that will bring you through is this great witness within your soul. I'm called of Christ. And where he sends, I will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. That will be your deliverance. You will never be in a cozy ride for a long time as a true minister of Christ. You are going always to work if you fulfill your call in the deep. The first characteristic of the true man of God is that he is to launch out in the deep. The shore for him is a thing of the past. The mighty deep in his life must ever be his environment. There is no retirement or dischargement of the call that God gives to those that serve for him. Hear these words. Lunge out into the deep. This is our Savior's command. The shore, it's got to be forsaken. The grip of the dry land has got to be said goodbye to. The cords that fasten us to land life must be severed. The order of the great captain who controls us and who has called us, lunge out into the deep. That lunging out represents our work in publicly preaching the glorious gospel of Christ. The deep among which we are to go are the people that we from time to time will reach with the words of our lips. Human life is a great and a vast, unending, and immeasurable deep. It is the preacher's business through the pulpit to lay himself along all sorts and conditions of humanity and bring them all into saving, healing contact with the gospel of Christ, which can change them and redeem them forever by the everlasting blood of God the Son. The weapon of the preacher is the word of the living God. The preacher cannot be any use apart from his understanding and his preaching with the power of the Spirit, the blessed Word of God. You will only be, young men, abusers of this holy office, misusers of the gospel, and a hindrance rather than a help if you do not obey to every jot and tittle the commands of the Lord who has called you. There was an old preacher, and he said this. He said, the sea in which the preacher plies his benevolent vocation is the whole world of human society, in all its dangers and in all its uncertainties. If he is to be of use to the Lord who called him and to the people whom he seeks to win, then he must carry the burden of the duties of the ministry, the burdens of the ministry, the trusts of the ministry. And he must see to it that on every occasion he is alerted as a man under orders from the Savior himself. Spoken language possesses a potent power. Hence the preacher practices his great art of telling the gospel from the seat of the dominion of speech. He is entrusted with the charge of immortal souls, and on these he must work as the potter works on the clay, to fashion them according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God committed to his trust. Like many workmen who are at the days or the year's close, want to test what they have done, the preacher often halts and asks himself the question, what progress have I made? And many times he turns, and with tears in his eye, and with a pressure on his heart, mourns the ineffectiveness of his ministrations. yet nonetheless His influence is abiding. Even though His word falls like water spilt upon the ground, and there is no immediate response, who can tell if they be spoken in the power of the Holy Spirit? How far that mysterious action may extend? How many hearts can be touched? How many homes can be rearranged and regenerated? Because the preacher not only accepted the call, but took upon him the responsibility to discharge the call and to preach the word of the living God. I had a very interesting letter the other day from the United States of America. It was from a man that was brought up on the Falls Road here in the city of Belfast. And he didn't like me, and he didn't like what I said, and he decided one day, as a young man, he would leave this province of Northern Ireland forever. And he got his papers, and he went to the United States. And he went to Texas. He went to a prominent university. He graduated. He got a very good job. But one day, not a very long time ago, he was walking down the street of the city where he was working. And he took ill. And he went over to the side of the road and he sat down on a windowsill. And as he sat down, he felt he was going to die. But there was a man past him. And he said, I recognize that man. And that man was also from Belfast. And he called to him when he came over. He said, what's wrong? He said, I'm not well. He said, I'm very ill. I don't know, I feel I'm going to die. The man said, well, we'll have to get you to hospital. They got him to hospital. There was nothing seriously wrong with him. But he said to the man that had come to help him, he said, you know, I have been thinking recently of what's going to happen to me after I die. The man that he had stopped from Ulster was a Christian, and he said to him, that's interesting. Would you like to know more? He said, I would. Well, he said, there is a number for your radio. You, when you go home, turn it on, and you'll get a speaker, and you'll hear the gospel. He said, who is the preacher? He says he's from Northern Ireland. His name is Paisley. He said, I left that country to get rid of that man. Do you think I'm going to go home and turn on my radio and listen? He said, you better, because if you die, you'll be damned. That's all he said. The man went home. He looked at his radio and he said, I'm not going to put it on. But the Spirit of God had gripped him and he did put it on. And he listened. And as he listened, God applied the word to his heart. He was slain. He was smote. He was broken. And holding on to his radio, he cried, God, save me. God, save me. God, save me. And God did it. God did save him. And in writing to me, he said, I felt immediately I was saved. I should go down to the chapel and tell the priest. And down to the chapel I went. And he said, the priest said, what are you doing here so early? There's no services on. He says, I've just come down to tell you I met a wonderful priest today. And he forgave all my sins for nothing. And I'm never coming back to your confessional. I'm never going to stand at your altar for a mass service again. I have been converted. The priest was very angry. He got the men that worked there to take him and put him out. As I sat in my room and thought of that man and of the power of the gospel, my heart rejoiced. We don't know the effect of the ministry God has given us. If we are faithful in the great day when God calls the numbers of the saints, we'll hear the stories of the triumph of the gospel of Christ. That is the gospel that you young men have been entrusted with. No one can measure the power of this gospel. No one can tell what one word from the lips of a spirit-filled man in the pulpit can do in the hearts of those that hear. In bygone times, it turned the nation from catastrophe. And when Europe went down the way of the French Revolution, England went up the way of the great revival under Whitfield and the Wesley brothers. The spiritual strength of the nation has come from the strength of Bible preaching. And what is required today is for old-fashioned Bible preaching. In the hands of the preacher, there lies the heart life of the whole nation. The preacher must be a daring man in the midst of the nation. What a task is in the preacher's work. He has to paint men's sins and iniquities in the dark colors which are theirs. He has to take the light of the gospel and put it into the darkest hearts of the lost heart of sinners. He's got to expose the deepest and most sinful nature that is laid bare. Every dark creek must be searched. Every hiding place must be laid wide open. There must be no excuses made and no excuses offered. The preacher's aim is not to defend iniquity, but to destroy it. The preacher is an exposer. He ought not to be an excuser. The word of God, which he must wield with heavenly energy, is a sword. The sword that he must never cease to wield with all the power that God can give him. I was looking at that great scripture in 2 Samuel chapter 23 verses 8 to 10 the other day. It gripped my soul. These be the names of the mighty men whom David had. The Tekmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains. The same was a Dino Esnite. He lift up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. One man against 800. Every one of them slain. But that man of God was the solemn victor of a great battle and a great victory. After him came Eliezer, the son of Dudu, the Ahawite, one of the three mighty men with David when they defied the Philistines that were gathered together to battle. And the men of Israel were gone away. And he arose and smote the Philistines with his hand until it was weary, and his hand cleave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day. And the people returned after him only to spoil. Young man, you can be a man whose hand cleaves unto the sword. Only when the sword cleaves into the hand of the preacher does that preacher become a preacher. Every preacher should seek to be one who knows the pressure of the sword upon his hand. Bold for his master and his Lord. Armed with the Spirit's two-edged sword. Help him thy counsel to declare. Nor men, nor foes, infernal fear. If your pulpit of today becomes like the pulpit of the past, where godly men preach, then your word, like their word, will be with power. The preaching of the word of God reaches its net down to the deepest of the depths. No matter how low a sinner has sunk in sin, he never gets beyond the reach of the net, the mighty gospel net. The Bible preaching never changes, and it must never be modified. There is no age in the world when the history of the word of the gospel will ever become obsolete. The stamp of eternity is the imprimatur of the true gospel pulpit. You, my young man, need to be a true gospel preacher. I thought this week of the great preachers that preached in this world of ours. I thought of Enoch and of Noah in the pre-flood age. I thought of Abraham in the age of the patriarchs. I thought of Moses and Aaron among the children of Israel. I thought of the kings and the prophets and the priests who all became preachers. And I thought of the day when the king of preachers himself put his foot on the soil of this world. I thought of Pentecost, when the preachers were baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. I thought of the martyrs, the reformers, the contenders, the revivalists, the soldiers of the cross. And even in this sad day of awful apostasy, God is still a race of preachers upon this earth. Daniel wrote of them. And what did he say about them? And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Another great preacher once said, why is there this continuity and stability about the office of the preacher? Why if not because his Bible message suits every age. This Bible is up to date for every situation. It's just as relative today for our century as it was for the reformers in the days of the Great Reformation. God made this Bible for every age. God knew what an age we would have this century. And God has given us a word that can meet every need. We should be united together in a strong bond to see that we preach the Word. The common sins, the common temptations, the common aspirations of evil men should be exposed. And the preacher must speak to the heart. And he must launch his campaign. And no matter whether there's hostile criticism, no matter what the hordes will do to stop his mouth, he must be a light bearer and a truth defender. And if he feels in that, he feels as God. He feels himself. But he feels the souls that attend to his ministry. The preacher is permanent. It is not an office that will become redundant and done away with. Evil churches that have long left the old gospel path have no preaching. They have all sorts of music, all sorts of entertainment, but the preacher is not there. And the message that can transform hearts is not there. Oh, we need the baptism that John the Baptist had to preach, even though it meant prison and beheading. We need the same strength that Noah had to preach for 120 years in the pre-flood apostasy. We need the same faith that Abraham had in his day. We need the faith that came to men on the day of Pentecost. We need the holy fire that the martyrs had. The reformers had, the contenders had, the defenders had, the reformers had, the revivalists had, and the soldiers of the cross had. And even in this awful apostasy, God has still a race of such men to produce to stay the apostasy. Oh, we do need a face like the face of John Knox when we're preaching. We do need a tongue like the tongue of Spurgeon when he preached. We do need the zeal and the fire of a Whitfield or a Wesley. We do need a heart that breaks and pray like praying Hyde. We need these things. And you young men going out to preach in this age, you need them. Why is it that some men have the anointing and some men have not? That is something that we must search our hearts about. For the only thing that will give us the encouragement that we need is when God comes amongst us. God in the midst of her doth dwell. nothing then will move us. For the Lord will help us, and that right early. Do you notice what happened? The change that was made in the men in the boat. They had given the Lord their boat. He had used it as a pulpit. But when he had finished, he said, I want you to launch out into the deep and let down for a draft. If we're going to reach the lost, we must hear the Savior's orders and we must obey them. Into the deeps we must go. We cannot go without the gospel net, for it is that net that is our power. To the depths of human life we must go. We must go where the depths are. And we must do the work that God has given us to do. For that work we need bodily strength like Samson. We need the cleverness of a Newton. We need the eloquence of a Spurgeon. We need the blood, the fiery blood of John Knox. We need the zeal of Martin Luther. And we need the learning of John Calvin. You say that's impossible. No, it's not. Because it was the Holy Ghost that made these men's ministry what they became and helped them to accomplish the great things that they did. My God can take the weak things and he can confound the mighty. My God can take the base things of the world and the things that are despised, and he can use them to do his eternal converting work. What changed these men? A baptism of fire in the upper room in Pentecost. There came upon them the anointing of the Spirit of God. If you don't have, young man, the anointing of the Spirit of God, everything else is vain. And you might as well go and shut the door and stay there until you have that matter settled before God. I need the Pentecostal baptism, and I need it if I'm going to be successful in my ministry. And you need it. Whatever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. If you know not what you are capable of doing in the kingdom of Christ, ask the Savior who called you and commissioned you to show you. Let him enter into your life as never before. Lay yourself on the altar and bind the sacrifice with cords to the altar. And then with his baptism, your emptiness can become an infinite fullness. Lord God, the Holy Ghost, in this appointed hour, as on the day of Pentecost, descend in all thy power. We meet with one accord to seek our Father's face and wait the promise of our Lord, the Spirit of all grace. Like mighty rushing wind upon the waves beneath, move with one impulse every mind, one soul, one feeling breathe. The young, the old inspire. with wisdom from above, and give us hearts and tongues of fire to pray, to praise and love. I trust that that will be the portion of you, young man, as you go out to exercise your ministry in an evil age, but with the fullness of the Spirit. God can turn the wilderness into the finest garden, and God can turn the blackness into the brightest of the day.